This is Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast. It's new people, new policies, and new pros for today's women on the move. It is spring, and we've got style. Your blueprint for style is brought to you today by a savvy and professional image consultant who knows personal styling and specializes in creating contemporary and polished personal images. 87% of industry leaders agree that a strong professional image helps individuals maintain positive and successful business relationships. In today's episode of We've Got Style, you will learn more about professional imaging and what steps you can take to enhance your professional image. And now here's your host, Deborah Harmon Pugh.
Welcome to Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the award-winning podcast for today's women on the move. And I am your host, Deborah Harmon Pugh. Today we are taking a trip to the School of Image Rocks. Now, I admit that as an organization of women in legendary leadership, we invest a great time and care in carefully building our brands. But today, we are peeling back the layers and taking a tailored approach to stitch together a collection of tips and techniques that are designed to give you a strong and stylish presence this spring. In today's episode of We've Got Style, you'll have the pleasure to meet our special guest. She's retired U.S. Marine officer, Miss Carrie Howe. She is the president and CEO of Howe Global Initiatives. She is a professional image consultant that is here to bring us a step-by-step blueprint of how we can create fresh and fashion-forward styles this spring. Miss Carrie Howe is a real pro at helping her clients to enhance their overall images by skillfully connecting the dots between appearance, behavior, communication skills to build professional and personal images. Thank you for joining today's conversation and join me in welcoming Miss Carrie Howe, President and CEO of Howe Global Initiatives, after this short break.
Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we want to thank our sponsors, Comcast NBC Universal, Military and Veterans Affairs, for their support of women veterans, military families, in the production of Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast. New Ranks Digital Media Network is connecting today's new ranks and new generations to family, friends, and faith as a digital lifeline across time and across distance. New Ranks is America's fastest growing digital media network that's connecting people, places, and possibilities to one another.
It's time to celebrate another national enduring community partner and sponsor. It's New Ranks Digital Media Network. They are the proud and exclusive sponsors of our One Last Thing Before We Go show commentary segment. Be sure to stay tuned as we close each episode with One Last Thing Before We Go. Thanks for supporting us and the New Ranks Digital Media Network.
Greetings, I am Carrie Howe, and I am the president and CEO of Howe Global Initiatives. I'm a retired Marine, an image consultant, and a leadership coach. I am so excited to be a part of the podcast posse here at Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Howe. It is wonderful to speak with you again today, and I am looking forward to our conversation today on the process of professional image consulting.
Thank you so much for providing me with the opportunity to speak with you, Deborah, and your Women Veterans Rock audience. I'm so excited to be a part of this organization and to share a bit of my expertise with you and your listeners.
So, Carrie, we have talked before about the field of professional image consulting, and today I'd love to discuss the intricacies of your post-military profession in greater detail, not only for me, but also for our listeners.
So let's begin with a concrete understanding of what a professional image consultant is and what do they do in the imaging industry.
First of all, Deborah, I think that you know that when you meet someone for the first time, you form an opinion about someone within seconds based solely on their appearance, good or bad, and then you fill in those information gaps later. One of the things that I wanted to do when I was transitioning is ensure that my physical appearance, once I took off that uniform, still matched my level of professionalism. I think that professional image consulting is about taking those unique qualities, developing your personal style based on what you know about yourself, and allowing this to radiate from the inside out.
Well, I think that this is a really important conversation because we know that there's this constant flow of women in the military and military family members that are transitioning from transitioning from military service back into civilian life. And I know that there are many benefits of working with the image consultant. So perhaps you can tell us, what are the three most important aspects of being a professional consultant in the area of imaging?
I think that the most important aspects, one, to be able to understand your clients and their body type, because you'll find, I think all of us find, that we have some things that are go-to items in our closet. And whether we realize it or not, oftentimes those are those pieces of clothing. When you put it on, you feel great and people compliment you, oftentimes because they are complimenting what God has given you, for lack of a better phrase. When you understand your shape, then you can determine what kind of clothes are best suited. There are three types of body shapes. There are ectomorphs, which are those really tall, cool drinks of water. So think Taylor Swift, very skinny, very narrow shoulders, narrow waist, narrow hips. So model types. You have your endomorphs, which are a bit more narrow through the shoulders, little tiny waist, and then have those ample hips and powerful thighs. More of the Beyonce type. Mm-hmm. And then you have mesomorphs, which are what I like to call the ideal body type. Those are the Halle Berry's. So broader shoulders, little itty bitty waist, and some hips. So not quite an hourglass, but kind of an hourglass, because mesomorphs tend more towards symmetry. That's what we try to do with those other body types, is to get to symmetry so that it looks like what you have on top matches what you have on the bottom.
So it sounds like we're talking about the first most important aspect of professional imaging is around appearance.
Absolutely. It is around appearance.
So what would be the second most important aspect of professional images?
I think the next most important aspect is behavior. Or for all of our military veterans, powerful ladies in the audience, to me, that is your posture, your presence, the way that you show up. And because we have all been trained to stand proud, to carry ourselves in such a dignified and professional manner, we already have most of that covered. So we know how to enter a room, how to look people in the eye when we greet them, how to have a proper handshake, how to stand up when other people enter the room. So I think it's a combination not only of how we carry ourselves, but also how that translates in how we treat other people.
So there's another aspect of building up a strong professional image that we've talked about. And that third one would be communications. Help us understand an overview of this third aspect. Then we're going to take some time to peel back the layers and talk about each of them in detail. This third one.
Absolutely. Communications is the third piece of the professional image puzzle, the ABC model. And to me, communications is probably the most nuanced aspect, because that involves not only your nonverbal communications, which is about 80% of the message that you're sending, but also your verbal communication. How do you connect with other people? Is it through eye contact? Is it through your body language, mirroring, matching? But then also a little bit deeper into those verbal communications, how do you connect with other people? Mm-hmm. Is it easy for you to talk to strangers? Mm-hmm. Can you build rapport effortlessly mm-hmm. by asking a thoughtful question and then having a thoughtful follow-up question that will allow you to build trust and form a relationship with the person on the other side of the conversation?
I love the way that you've begun with giving us a structure and an overview, and you refer to this as the professional image puzzle, and that would be a combination of appearance, behavior, and communications. And that's helpful, because when we talk to our friends and colleagues about imaging or what our professional image is, it sometimes take on this alphabetic soup sort of environment, and we think it's all of these things. But you have very carefully packaged it easily for us in terms of appearance, behavior, and communications. So let's take a moment to discuss the aspects of appearance as it relates to today's rapidly evolving world of, one, we're working with telework, two, hybrid workers, and three, which sometimes is one of my favorites, is this global Zoom workforce. So let's just break this down. Talk to us a little bit about appearance and how we need to focus in on it.
Absolutely. I think, at least for me, and I'm sure that a number of our listeners would feel the same way, after spending years, decades, maybe most of your life wearing a uniform, when you took that uniform off and had to move into wearing big girl clothes or professional clothes, for mm-hmm. me, it was very challenging to put together my civilian uniform. I like the ease of having a military uniform, but I also wanted to have that ease in civilian clothes, but find ways to play it up a little bit. And so I found, working with my body shape, that I have a particular color palette that works for me, also because of my skin mm-hmm. and my hair and eye color. So understanding those, and then also knowing that if I stick with a pretty neutral palette, so I wear primarily blacks, navies, and hunter greens. And then I play up my accessories. So I might wear a leopard print belt and leopard print shoes and have something that goes along with that with my handbag or briefcase. Mm-hmm. Or a pop of red, hot pink. But something where things are interchangeable and my wardrobe works for me. Mm-hmm. I don't work for it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. My wardrobe works for me. And you talked about women who are transitioning from military uniforms, but Carrie, there are other uniforms that we make a transition from as well. Mommy uniforms, women who have been home working with their children and their families, and sometimes they don't always get a chance to put on a nice leopard skin belt, or also those people who are working as family caregivers. So you said the first thing that we should be looking at is making a decision about our body types. Now let's revisit those three body types that you talked about at the top of today's conversation. They are
ectomorph, endomorph, and mesomorph. I'll start with ectomorph because those really thin, every designer's dream, are a little bit easier, at least in my opinion, to find things that work for them. But at the same time, it's really easy to get lost in their body or get swamped by their clothes if they don't take into consideration a number of things that they have working for and against them. One thing to keep in mind is because they have more of a rectangular shape, they want to accentuate their waist so that they have more of a symmetry. A great way to do this is a fun belt. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be complicated, but just something that will draw people's attention to their waistline. Also, although maybe it seems contradictory, our ectomorphs should avoid wearing vertical stripes because we don't want them to look any thinner than they already are. A nice way to bring out their other physical attributes is to work with textures. And this could be something as easy as a velvet blazer that's fitted, because also that will accentuate their waist and add some texture, a tweed blazer, maybe some of those velour pants. I noticed at Georgetown, the girls are brought back the Juicy Couture tracksuits. So that's apparently a thing again. But at the end of the day, you want to bring out the things that make you comfortable. And so if those aren't your style or something that you like to do, and you have that ectomorph body, then whatever you're feeling is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's also an important thing to keep in mind. Although we can play up our best attributes, mm-hmm. if you're not confident in what you're wearing, that will be very apparent.
So this is great. So we look at the tall, slender body frame. And what you've talked about is it's important for us to know about not only our body type, looking at our skin, our eye color, and colors that work for us, but also accents, like a fun belt. And I love the idea of colors and textures to give some symmetry to our appearance. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about some tips you have for the second body type.
Yes, our endomorphs. They have a little bit less on top and a little bit more going on through their hips and those powerful thighs.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to keep in mind is that you really want to think about playing up your top half and maybe reducing the appearance of what you have on your bottom half,
mm-hmm.
while playing into symmetry. So once again, a belt is fantastic. Women who are endomorphs should focus on wearing lighter colors on top and darker colors on the bottom, because those will also help slim down their hips and their thighs,
mm-hmm.
and provide more symmetry. Also, floral patterns on the top and darker colors on the bottom could have the same effect. Or any kind of pattern, really. Doesn't even have to be a floral. I'm not huge on florals. I prefer little polka dots, because I think there are less ways that that could clash with something else that you plan to bring into the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like florals, then you do you. We have to keep that in mind and applaud everyone's strengths. And I think that that is not something that you can overlook. One other thing to keep in mind with that endomorph body type, A-line skirts are going to be a great choice,
mm-hmm.
because they also are going to provide balance. Straight leg trousers are also going to be great. So perhaps avoid the skinny jeans. You don't have to if that's your jam,
mm-hmm.
but straight leg trousers. Or now there are even some wide leg trousers that are nice.
Yes.
So those are also wonderful options for our endomorphs.
I love these tools and tips that you're giving us for body type number one and body type number two. So let's talk about body type number three as we go through this circle of talking about overall appearance.
Absolutely. So the third body type are our mesomorphs. They, in some instances, would be the ideal body type because of visual symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
I love the theme of belts because it seems like an easy solution to a lot of our fit problems. Not only do they hold up our trousers, but also they're going to draw our eyes to the waist and provide that visual symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with mesomorphs, at least in women, you'll find that our shoulders can be a little bit maybe broader. And so you might need to focus on creating the illusion of not such broad shoulders. And a great way to do that are V-neck tops,
mm-hmm.
or even U-neck tops. Mm-hmm. So once again, you're drawing people towards your face and neck area as opposed to your shoulders. I would say mesomorphs also have a lot of flexibility, and thinking about jackets and blazers, it's better if they're fitted and have skinnier or narrow lapels, because once again, you don't want to make your shoulders broader than they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent point. And I am just so delighted to hear you go through each one of these body types. I almost feel like you and I are on a mini shopping trip. And if our listeners can walk away with one or two recommendations, whether we're talking about fun belts. And by the way, I heard you talk about belts in each one of these body types. And there's so many really fabulous ways in which we can use that as a tool to give some finish to our overall appearance. And of course, textures, they always work. And helping us understand how do we work through the process of creating a visual symmetry in terms of patterns on the top and full colors or plain colors on the bottom. So this is a very interesting and important journey in terms of the first aspect of image consulting, and that is around appearance. Now, before we move on, Carrie, I'd like for you to give us your thoughts about how do we work through this process of this evolving work world that we are working in. And many of us have been away from our jobs working either through telework, those folks who are coming back into the office as hybrid workers. And there seems to be this challenge of working through, are we doing casual, not so casual? Because sometimes I look around and it seems like many people are coming to work in their pajama bottoms because we're accustomed to working at home. Help us understand that as we go through this cycle of discussion around appearance.
Absolutely. This is where I think the gentlemen have a little bit, I don't want to say easier time, but you know, they can put on a suit, show up somewhere and see that no one is wearing a tie, take off their tie, and they blend right in. For us, we have a bit more of a style continuum challenge. And I say that from moving from casual up to more formal attire, and that we have more leeway. And yet at the same time, it feels if you are a bit too casual, you're going to stand out. So I would offer that there's a nice happy medium as we move back into the workforce in person, where you can let your clothes once again work for you. There are many retailers now who sell beautiful clothing and everything is machine washable. I decided a few years ago that I would not buy anything that was dry clean only unless I saw it. And then 3 days later, I still kept thinking about it because there are too many beautiful articles of clothing that you can pop in your washing machine, hang to dry, steam, and they're ready to go. And it takes one less thing out of getting dressed. It also was really helpful for those moms who might have to spend some extra time with childcare at home. Now they're going into the office two or three times a week, but able to have the flexibility for machine washable professional clothing. It's out there. It exists. I've also noticed in many workplaces, people are still dressing up in that they are wearing trousers, a nice blouse, and then maybe instead of a jacket, they're wearing a cardigan. Or some people have even been wearing really cool leather jackets. So it's still not really casual. It takes it up a notch and has a hint of style. Also with footwear, you know, you've never had to wear high heels. So ladies, if anyone tells you you have to wear heels, I'm sorry, they're not correct. If you like to wear heels, then you should absolutely wear heels. But there is nothing that says in a professional setting you should wear heels. Now, there are instances where you might need to wear hose, nylons, tights, whatever you'd like to call them, if you need to take your level of formality up a notch. So that's also something that you have in your arsenal to take your outfit from casual to a bit more business casual, wearing hose, nylons, tights. But with footwear, many people are now wearing, we'll call them the Cole Haans. So they look like an Oxford, but feel like a sneaker. So go with their business suits. And not only are you a bit more comfortable running all around, you look professional, and it also blends in with the less formal work environments. I also noticed people are back to the sneaker shuffle, where they go into the office wearing their sneakers and then change their footwear once they arrive in the office. In fact, some people even keep their sneakers on all day until they have to go do something important and then slip into something a little bit more formal.
Well, thank you for those fun and reassuring tips on the style continuum. There's one final thing that I'd like for you to shed some light on before we move into this second phase of what we've considered to be the three most important aspects of professional image. This one final thing on appearance, and that is, what tips can you give to our workforce?
That is an excellent question, Deborah. Thank you for asking. Is find a tailor. Tailors can take your outfit from looks good to wow, because they know exactly what to do to give you a nip and a pinch here and there to make that sale jacket you found at TJ Maxx look like it was custom made for you. The best way to try out a tailor is to buy a pair of trousers that are a little too long or jeans. They're a great way to determine if the tailor's good. Bring in your trousers, bring in your jeans, have them hem your pants. One, see how long it takes. Take a look at their stitching, but especially with jeans, a great tailor will take that original hem and translate that to your shortened pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. But a tailor is absolutely essential. The second thing I would recommend is having your clothes serve dual purpose. There are a few tricks that you can do with your trousers, for instance. I have a number of pair of slacks, and I have sewn buttons or snaps on the inseam, on the inside of the pant, so that I can wear full-length trousers during the day. And then at night, when it's time to go out, you cuff under your pants and snap them in place, change your shoes for something a little glitzier, and you almost have an entirely new outfit. That also goes, though, with accessories, because blouses, trousers, your shoes, whatever you wear during the day, just swapping out your jewelry or your blazer for a fun cardigan or a wrap is something that you can do to also make your clothes work for you. And finally, I would like to say, have fun, because this is about you and what makes you feel confident. If wearing bright red all the time is what makes you that you're happiest, then you need to rock that, because people will recognize that confidence and how it exudes from you. If you would rather be a bit more conservative and stick with your neutral color palette and maybe play around with a pop of color until you are more comfortable with working with the color wheel, that's great too, because it's all about confidence radiating through you, and your clothes shouldn't wear you. You need to wear your clothes. And one final thing, if you put together an outfit and you really like it, you receive compliments and you feel good in it, snap a picture so you remember how that looks and you don't have to recreate it from scratch the next time you want to get dressed up or you need to prepare for an interview or something important, because you already have that tool in your arsenal.
Well, that is fantastic. Thank you for wrapping up our first segment in a place where you encourage us to have fun and help us understand the importance of feeling confidence in whatever it is that we decide to package our overall appearance. So now let's get to the nitty-gritty of part number two, and that's behavior. Let's discuss behavior and the importance that it plays in building a strong and powerful image. So help our listeners understand some insights into the sliding scale around behavior. You've talked a bit about informal attire, and you've talked a bit about formal, more traditional business attire. Let's talk about that in the space of behavior. We've talked about informal attire. Let's talk about informal behavior. And where does it shift? When, where, and why does it shift to more traditional business behavior?
Well, that's an excellent question, Deborah. And I think that if you err on the side of formality at all times, you can never go wrong. When you show up and you stand up and you are polite, courteous, and proud of who you are and what you represent, you call people by the titles in which they would like to be called, and you treat everyone with dignity and respect, I think you can never go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, I think people, especially in the Zoom environment or the work from home environment, perhaps younger people lose sight of those formalities that are still required because they're social norms in a workplace. There is a hierarchy, just like there is with your family, maybe not so much with your friends, but definitely in your professional environment. And if you treat everyone like they are one, more important than you, and like they are the most important person in the world, at that moment when you're speaking with them, you will be able to accelerate trust and build a relationship. And also ensure that you have quid pro quo and that they will also treat you with dignity and respect.
I think that you make an excellent point about erring on the side of formality. And I think that it is excellent because when we are working in this global intergenerational workforce that we've always worked in the past, but we see our Generation Z or younger members that are coming into the workforce, they're just graduating from college, coming off of collegiate sporting teams, and they have a different experience in how they interact. What would be some of the ways that you would encourage younger workers coming into the workforce to err on the side of formality, particularly when they are referring to older members within their work teams?
I think it's really important for our younger members to ask how their seniors would like to be called. And by seniors, I don't necessarily mean just older people, but people who are in positions of authority. Maybe they are direct reports. Maybe they are the president of the company. And until you establish that relationship, you should ensure that you are calling them by their proper title, not on a first name basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, when you are very casual, it's easy for you to forget your role and how you fit into the organization. You know, it's in the military, it's easy to figure out, right? Because everyone has ranks and we understand how that works. But then when you move into that civilian workforce, you don't know who the guy sitting next to you or who walks into the room could be. And so if you rely on your training and remembering, it never hurts to address someone by sir or ma'am. Let them correct you and then take the relationship from there. Because you would hate to have a gentleman or lady walk into the room in their Adidas tracksuit, casual running shoes, and you say, "What's up, man?" And it turns out that that's the ambassador or that's the CEO of your corporation. And just because they're not dressed to the nines for that particular moment, maybe they, I don't know, were out golfing. Maybe they left a Zoom call. Or maybe you haven't had the opportunity to meet them face to face. So err on the side of caution. Hello, how are you, sir? How's your day? As opposed to more of those casual slang type phrases until you develop that relationship and you're in a space that's safe and that allows you to, I would say, one, break down those barriers, but also be a bit more relaxed.
I love those really good points that you've made around this. And for military personnel that's transitioning back into the civilian workforce, it might be a bit easier because of their orientation and their training to refer to others as ma'am and sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And it's easier. But you make a second point that I think is really valid, and that is simply ask people what's their personal preference.
Absolutely. Because you will find some senior members of an organization that absolutely want you to call them Bud or Ralph or Jenna, whatever their name might be. And then you will find other people that insist on Ms. Smith or Mr. Jackson mm-hmm. or Colonel Updefrats. But mm-hmm. just it, knowing will keep you in a very safe space, the blue zone, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important to note that when we call individuals or refer to individuals by their titles, it is a form of respect. It is a form of honor. And that respect is not because this person is, you know, years older than you or they have longer tenure on their job. It's respect of the expertise that they bring to the table. And so I do think that it may, for some people, feel a bit uncomfortable and a bit stuffy, but it is important that we honor people by their service and their expertise and allow them to say, it's okay, you can call me by my first name. So I like the fact that you recommend, let's err on the side of formality.
Absolutely. And I think that especially for younger people starting off and just having that, I don't want to say insecurity about starting new careers or new positions, mm-hmm. but there definitely is a feeling of the unknown. So if you can show up and know that I am going to present myself in the best manner possible, mm-hmm. treat everyone with some level of deference, then I know I will be starting off on the right foot.
I agree. So we've been working to build this three-legged stool. We've been looking at appearance. We've been talking about behavior. And I'd like to go to this other very important leg, and that is the aspects of communication in building a strong and professional image. So what are some of the important tools and or techniques that you would encourage our listeners to remember when they are working to give some shape that they are comfortable with and proud of in their communications activities?
Communications are extremely important because it's how we send information out into the world. Sometimes that information goes out verbally. Sometimes it's written. We won't focus on that so much tonight, but I'll offer a couple of pointers. But our nonverbal communications, they do 80% of the talking for us. And so oftentimes we don't recognize the message that we're sending because our body sometimes takes over. However, there are ways to consider how you posture yourself when you are delivering a message and when you are talking to people, especially for the first time. I think having an open body posture is extremely important when engaging people. And open posture looks like a wider stance, but not too wide, mm-hmm. where perhaps you're facing the person with whom you're speaking at about a three-quarter angle. So you're still leaving it open because maybe you haven't built that rapport to be standing directly in front of them and having a conversation. Your arms are open, relaxed. You don't want to stand with your arms crossed because oftentimes if someone crosses their arms in the middle of a conversation, it means that you've offended them in some way. People do like to stand with their arms crossed. It can be very comfortable, but if you're one of those people, think about how you loosen that up so you still look approachable and open to conversation. You also may find that you like to put a hand in your pocket. I know in uniform, we weren't allowed to do it. However, that's a nice, relaxed posture to send the message that you are open to communication. Also, with your features, think about smiling. I know Americans were notorious for over-smiling. But it's our social norm and the message that we send to other people that we like what we're hearing, we are open to receiving, and we want to continue a conversation. So don't be afraid to smile while you are having a conversation. Also, active listening is a very important part of communication. And I know with all the things we have running through our thoughts a million miles an hour during the day, when you are talking with someone, Do your best to turn off that outside noise. As I mentioned earlier, try to make that person feel like they are the most important person in the world in that moment. How do you do that? You listen to the words that they're saying. You look at their body language. And then, after you think they've exhausted their speech, you ask a thoughtful follow-up question that demonstrates to them that you are listening and you care about what they're saying. While they're speaking, it's also important to insert words like, mm-hmm, okay, or to nod your head so that they know that you're still following along.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that you have talked about communications in a way that I didn't expect, but I welcome. And when you talk about communications, you started right off the bat about us focusing in on nonverbal communications. And the whole scenario of looking at our posture and whether or not we are actively listening is really important to whether or not we are communicating an open and welcome environment. And I think oftentimes we tend to forget about that. And that is so important. So when you look at communications, you put nonverbal right at the top. Why did you do that?
Nonverbal is at the top because you have a very short amount of time to make a first impression. And if you show up in a space and you look welcoming, your body posture is open, you're standing up tall, you're smiling, you radiate confidence, people will be drawn to you and will want to engage with you. If you are slumped over, maybe have a sullen look on your face, or just generally put out the feel that you don't want to be there, people won't want to engage with you. And I think part of showing up and being a professional is being accessible. And when you send out those nonverbal signals, it makes you a lot more accessible to everyone.
This has been quite a journey. And we have talked about appearance, behavior, and communications, all in the space of why we want to focus on building a strong and professional image. And before we close today's conversation, I'd like very much for you to share some words of wisdom about this constantly changing culture of work that we've all been exposed to, and how can we ensure that we are building and projecting a positive, strong professional image?
Thanks for that question, Deborah. I would offer, firstly, that everyone has been in such a constant state of flux for the last, 3 years, that one, projecting that confident and professional image also means offering people a little bit of grace, because there will be times when maybe you aren't looking your best or feeling your best, and that's okay if it happens every once in a while. Think about the support networks that you have and people on whom you can lean in order to make it better the next day. I would also say that sometimes fake it till you make it. And if you can put on your very best outfit, maybe when you're not feeling your best, you can trick yourself into having that confidence to make it through the day or to get through that one hard thing. I also will always recommend, even if you aren't in your best outfit, ensuring that it is ironed, pressed, that your shoes are shined, that things are tucked in, will give you a step up compared to your colleagues and coworkers, because you know how to look presentable and how to put yourself together. So ensure that those skills that you learned in the military, from tucking in your shirts, polishing your boots, I guess maybe with the younger people, they don't have to polish their boots anymore, but you know, you still have to make sure they're serviceable. So make sure that all of your clothing is also serviceable, because it matters. And then finally, I would offer, don't invest in a $1 million wardrobe. I say that tongue in cheek, but if you are transitioning careers and you're moving into something that's more formal, do a closet audit before you go shopping. Take a look at what you have on hand, those pieces that you always wear and that you love, and think about how you can interchange things that you already have with maybe a few new accessories or a new blouse instead of going out and spending a lot of money, especially if you're unsure of how your dress code in the office may change. Having one or two blazers or suits on hand and then upgrading or adjusting to that casual or not as casual level of dress will also help you, one, save money, two, save time, and three, I would say, save yourself from a headache. It's not about what you're wearing, but how you show up. And so consider having a positive attitude to the best of your abilities and be willing to be a part of the team and to jump in, because you can do it. You've done hard things before. So anything that you encounter in your journey back into the workplace, or maybe stepping away from your computer into the workplace, won't be as daunting.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Howe, for today's conversation on how we can best connect the dots between our appearance, behavior, and communications as we are working to build a strong professional image, an image that we will be proud of, an image that we are confident in, and an image that will draw people to us to want to engage with us. Thank you for today's conversation, and it has been a pleasure having you here at Women Veterans Rock on the Hill, the podcast.
Thank you very much, Deborah. I appreciate your time. And thank you to all the listeners out there.
We thank Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, a national enduring partner of Women Veterans Rock, for their longtime support and for their shared vision of service, inclusion, and equality. This episode of Women Veterans Rock on the Hill is sponsored by the Women Veterans Rock Civic Leadership Institute, where our priority is preparing today's military women for post-military civic leadership, business leadership, and nonprofit leadership in America.
And there's one last thing before we go. Be mindful of first impressions, especially those impressions made in today's brave new world of conducting business as a participant in today's Zoom global workforce. People form first impressions really quickly, and those impressions can impact scenarios like job interviews and meeting with new clients. Being thoughtful and intentional about your appearance and conduct in personal and professional situations will help you to turn contacts into contracts. And in the words of Coco Chanel, a French fashion designer and businesswoman, she is the founder and namesake of the Chanel brand, and she was credited in the post-World War I era with popularizing sporty, casual chic attire as the feminine standard of style. And she says, if you dress shabbily, they will notice the dress. If you dress impeccably, they will notice the woman. Now, Posse, take us home.